All right, what up, world? This is Dan Diggity, Road to Victory podcast. Today, we got a special guest in the building. Yes. Someone who I admire and I am inspired by. Someone who's, you know, just full of life. Someone who's confident in herself. And
oh, my God. You're going to make me blush.
Certainty when it comes to... you know, having a great sense of humor and personality, you know, just an all-around amazing person. We got Shanique Clark in the building.
I'm about to say, I know you ain't put an A at the end of my name. I know you ain't do that.
No, you know it's crazy? You know it's crazy? My sister name is Shaniqua.
I remember you telling me that, yes.
Yeah, so I get it confused all the time.
It's okay. All Black people do. Yes. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And, of course.
I love what you're doing. And I was like, oh my God, I need to get on it before he blows up and forget about the little people down here. So here I am. Thank you, Anthony.
No, this is absolutely an honor and privilege to have you as a guest.
Thank you.
First off, happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays to you too. What you got planned? You tricking?
No, I'm doing the family thing, working on a music album, and I guess podcasting.
Okay, yeah. I see you. Just do it all. That's all you can.
Hey, keep it simple, right? Keep it simple. What about you?
I'm going to church in the morning, and then I'm gonna go to my mom's house because she's cooking. And then on Monday, I'm going to go to my dad's house. So I try to like split it where it's the even division between both parents and just getting as much food as possible. Because, you know, that's important.
I know you love your food.
I love my food. I got the Tupperwares ready.
Real quick, I wanted to like introduce you into the audience and the podcast village and stuff like that. So you're from the Bronx?
Well, funny enough, I'm originally from Mount Vernon. So I was raised in Mount Vernon. My dad lived in the Bronx and I would go back and forth growing up. And then once I got older and I got a job and I wanted to live on my own, that's when I moved to the Bronx fully and just been here ever since.
Okay. Awesome. So being from Mount Vernon in the Bronx, you know, to... I guess your career in like HBO and CNN and at Discovery and stuff like that. Tell us what it was like, you know, just the journey of being where you're from to where you are now.
It's so funny because I always knew growing up I wanted to work in entertainment, but doing exactly what, that was always the question. So when I was in high school, I went to high school in Greenwich, Connecticut. So I was in class with like the daughter of Tommy Hilfiger, the niece of Heavy D. Like it was a very affluent school. And a lot of those kids, their parents came from money. So I always had the dream and desire to be like the parent, right? Like that way I can give my kids what they were able to give their children. So whatever I did, the goal was to become an executive or do something that gave me, I guess you would say, a position of power. I don't know if that's always a good thing though, but in my head, it was more so like do it where I can help other minorities because I was one out of 4.5 Black girls. So it was very few of us and it was important to increase that number down the line. So when I got the job at HBO, it's funny, I didn't want it. Like I went in and I interviewed and everything in me said like, no, don't do it. And I did, and it was great. It was a great experience. I learned a lot about budgeting and numbers because I was managing, at the time, the largest budget in history on the AT&T account. And as many people know, eventually AT&T bought out, well, at that time was Time Warner. And so then I transitioned to CNN, trying to get more into the creative side of things. Like, okay, now I understand, like, the digital ad side and the marketing side. Now let me go to the creative side where you're actually putting together the show. And that's where I was for 5 years working for a primetime anchor. And it was a great time. Like it was a journey. It was a process. There were scary moments where I didn't know what I was doing. But the good thing is, like, you just got to make the best of things and kind of use like a lot of common sense, and just go with what makes sense. And I kind of just have this mentality where I go with the flow. So I can apply to 1,000 jobs, but if I get in an interview and it feels off, I'm not taking it. You can offer the most money, I'm not taking it, because eventually what happens is, sitting in that position, you're going to realize why your spirit said, don't do it. And I don't want to be in that position again. So luckily I didn't have that same experience coming to Discovery, and it wasn't a hard transition because we're all one family. But the beauty about coming here, it feels like it's just a breath of fresh air. Like, it's a different world. Everyone is so kind, so helpful. They want to see you grow. They understand the importance of a healthy work environment. And that's one thing I was seeking out the most in my next position. So thank God I'm here. That's all I'm going to say.
Congratulations. I know the journey has been long, and it's not even like half done. You still got more greatness and gifts inside you that,
you know,
I personally can't wait to see and stuff like that. You know?
Listen, you're going to be surprised. It's so funny because the joke I made yesterday, I was like, you know, depending on how the podcast turn out, we might end up having our own show. Like, the vibe is just already vibing. I love it. But, you know, wherever God says is the next place to be is where I'm going to go. So, you know, I'm just going according to his will.
Powerful. Now, you talked about like a clean slate, and I like the at the end of the year, I like to, you know, count like all the stuff I added and subtract the stuff I don't need, that doesn't serve me anymore going into the new year. So what are some things that you learned about yourself this year? What are some things that you feel like you need to work on?
You ready for this list?
Yeah. That's why we here.
Listen, it's so funny because I had that conversation with my mom where ever since I felt like I turned 30, I just saw life completely different. Like, even people don't look the same.
I don't even
look the same. Like, there was a point where I had a breakdown because I was like, who am I? And I like who I'm developing into, but it's such a new person. I gotta learn her all over again. Like,
why do you think that occurred?
Well, I don't know. It's so funny. A lot of people said, you know, when you turn 30, it's gonna be different. Just like when you turn 40, it's gonna be different. And I was just like, yeah, what's another year? Like, tomato, tomato. But I think it's also because I made the intentions of always wanting to become a better person. Right. And to be who God has called me to be.
Right.
And I've made some mistakes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. Like, it's a daily process for me. But my intentions were pure. And I was always set on, I want to be a better person. I want to be healed. I want to be around the right people. Like, I love the people who were around me. That's why they were around me. But perhaps they just couldn't stay for too long. And part of those prayers was also removing those who would hold me back. And so when I turned 30, literally on my birthday, I guess you could say I was just treating people like they were disposable, and I really wasn't, but it was kind of like, we've hit that threshold where, okay, you can't come with me anymore. You have to stay where you are. And I love you from a distance, but I don't want you part of this next decade and beyond, because I can't afford to lose what you'll cause me to lose. And so I just felt like I just looked at people differently, and the love, like I said, was still there, but they couldn't come with me. Like, I just felt that you kind of already know it. I think a lot of times we know who we shouldn't be around, but the amount of years you guys have been friends or some of the memories makes it so hard to let go. And it's okay. Like, everyone grows up. You're not going to come with me to the afterlife. You know, we all have our own destiny and destination. Therefore, I had to come to terms where I had to accept things for what they are and not try to control the outcome, because it can be at my detriment. And I was afraid of that. And so it was just best to follow suit with what I felt like God was doing. And so since then, I kind of learned a lot. Like, I learned not to hold on to the wrong people because of the years of friendship, or just the idea of being able to say, oh, we've been friends since kindergarten or first grade, or, you know, we started working here together. Like, we don't have to be friends. Doesn't mean you're an enemy. It just means that you are a person who is a part of my story in this specific chapter. However, come chapter 30, you're no longer in this book. And I'm not in your book either, right? Because we all have our own story. And so I just learned to not try to hold on to things. And that's still a process. I'm still learning how to forgive.
Right.
Whatever that looks like. And that's a struggle. Like, I pray about that all the time because I can hold on to things. But that's not healthy because I'm holding on to it. But it's also doing something on the inside that can look like bitterness. And I don't want that. So it's about like taking my mental seriously, just trying to be a better person, understanding who I am, learning to only give what you can afford to lose. Like, I feel like I gave certain
places. Hold on, learning to give what you could afford to lose.
Yes, yes, you have to, or you're going to give too much. Look at the pandemic. You right. think those people who went home thinking, oh, I'm just going to stay home because it's a pandemic, and they're working and they're giving so much because now there's a high expectation when you're working from home that you can't slip up. And unfortunately, you don't make it to the next minute or the next hour. They gave so much of themselves to the point where when they were gone, they were just replaced. And it's such a harsh reality to accept, but it also should create a certain level of boundaries of how much we put out. Like, I put out just what you asked for. And if I feel like you deserve more, then you will get more. But that's a self-choice. Everything we have to do in life is based on a choice that we have to make in that moment or whenever. And so I'm choosing to only give what I can afford to lose. Because if I give you too much and I feel like I walked away with nothing, I'm going to resent you. It's going to develop into bitterness, possibly anger, and then misery loves company. And then that's when you have the wrong company around you. It's a ripple effect. And so just this year in itself, I'm trying not to develop that. I'm trying to be honest with who I am. I've learned to trust who I am as I'm still getting to know who I was called to be. And hopefully, well, not hopefully, I love me. So I'm going to just continue to love me, love who God has called me and cultivated me to be. But this year has been a journey. I think 2022 was just rough for a lot of people, you know?
Right, right.
It's been rough. What about you? I'm curious to know your answers. This is a two-way interview. I want to know your answer.
About what I learned about myself?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is painful because, you know, I spent a lot of time, like, self-destructing, you know what I'm saying? Self-destruction, like, half the year, and then, you know, the two things that changed everything was, one, I had to forgive myself, you know what I'm saying? Forgive myself, and it was like, yo, you can't basically be down and, you know, continue to harm yourself because, you know, you didn't do what you said you'll do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt for so long, like, especially I got with my health, like with my kidneys and stuff like that, you know, I felt like it was my fault and stuff like that. And I blamed myself because if I would have treated myself a little better, maybe I wouldn't be in a situation. But I had to realize, and I heard from somebody, like, yo, you can't be conceited in your sins. You know, you're not that deep. You know, God could still use you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be conceited in your sins. So I had to really, really, all right, start with forgiving myself. Like, yo, aunt, you know I haven't lived up to, you know, all the things that we dreamed, you know, growing up, all the finding out on who I wanted to be and what I wanted to contribute while I was on earth, you know, all of that. And then the next thing was, you know, after the forgiveness, it was like, all right, now let's start to be kind to yourself. Mm. Be kind to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Don't beat yourself up just because things doesn't work out in your favor all the time. You know what I'm saying? It taught me, like, to work harder and go harder and try new things and explore and be exposed to the world, you know, and stop trying to blend in, and one of my major things is that, like, I always try to get people to like me and feel comfortable around me, because I grew up in a nasty neighborhood where you had to be tough, or people tried you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So being around, like, corporate America, or just being in the world, you know, I always moved around gentle. Right. So people could feel comfortable around me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, hello, like, I come in peace. You know, I'm not one of the bad apples. You know, right. You know? So right. I guess, mindset I had to change, and those things I learned about myself that I can carry on to 2023.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's something I need to learn how to do. Like I said, I'm still learning what forgiveness means. You know, I do know it doesn't mean reconciliation.
Right. And that's crazy you say that, because you had sent me a powerful, powerful message of a word, of a kind of sermon and stuff like that, where you talked about forgiveness and, I guess, putting yourself first and, you know, how to treat others and stuff like that. Like, where did that come from? Like, how drawn to your message were you?
It's so interesting, because I feel like God was like, you need to share your testimony, because right. I brought you through this so that you can be an example to others on how to respond in certain instances. Here I am working hard. I mean, I'm working hard. I'm putting in hours. And the people that I trusted the most came together and came against me. And the most shocking part was accepting it. Not the actual fact itself, but accepting what happened. And there were moments when it really broke me. Like, I had moments where I had panic attacks, anxiety attacks, because I was in so much disbelief. Like, how could you do this to me? Like, if anything, you would want to probably treat me well, because I've done so much for this team or for these people. And fast forward, after that situation, it forced me. And that was also one of the instances after my birthday where it forced me to look at myself and others in a different way, because it was either I do what they tell me to do or I stand up for what was right. And the true Leo in me was like, you're not going to punk me at all. I'm going to stand up for what's right. And I'm going to do it with a little bit of fear. I'm not going to lie, but I'm doing it because I know that there's a reason why God is putting me through this, right? There's not an attack from the enemy that God doesn't know about first, right? So if we understand that the Father's Alpha and Omega, there's nothing that's going to happen that he's not aware of, right? In the Bible, we see that he said to the devil, have you tested my servant Job, right? He offered Job as a tester. And his story was so influential, because you can lose it all, but not lose your faith, even when the person closest to you is forcing you to think the way you should have thought according to man's standard. But in my situation, it taught me a lot. It taught me how to look at myself, how much to give, but also what it means to stand 10 toes solid. Like, I think a lot of people say it, but they don't know what comes with that. Standing 10 toes solid means you got someone putting your back against the wall, and you got to stand strong. It's like you're about to fight. And I know we all been there. I'm not going to sit here and act righteous. You're not about to fight and you got on sandals. You're going to slide your shoes off, right? You're going to grip them toes on the floor. You're going to get your posture right. Like, what's good? What's up? Like, you know, let's go. You want to shoot the fair one? We're going to do it. We all been there. So it's like, you got to be postured for war. And I think often enough with that situation itself, it taught me how to position myself for war. You can't be destined for greatness and not go through things. And so when that message fell on my heart, it was like, nah, I got to share this with somebody. God didn't bring me through this for no reason. Like, people go through things every day. Some things are worse than others. But how you respond says a lot about your character, but it also dictates where you're going to go in life. Mm-hmm. Because if I know a lot of people who worked at places and they took so much abuse. Right. And they walked away with nothing. Not me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk away with something. And my chest being high has to be number one. I got to walk away knowing I fought a good fight. Even if it didn't turn out how I wanted it to turn out, I don't want to walk away feeling like I got punked. And so I had to just share that message, but also show, like, even though the same people that you were once close to that has turned their back on you and were part of the vendetta against you, you still have to forgive them. And that's part of, like, my forgiveness journey. Can I forgive those I trusted once who turned their backs on me when they shouldn't have? Yes, I can. Why? Because everyone is not built like me. What I would have done may not be what they would have done. They have their own personal fears, and sometimes people use fears against others to get them to do what they want. And that's how some people are. They're not strong enough. They don't have the backbone. And I accept the fact that what they did is what they did, because I wouldn't be where I'm at if they didn't move the way they did. So going back to God being the Alpha and Omega, he knew, okay, if I allow them to turn against her, she'll move. And when she moves, she's going to go right to where I need her to be, to be a blessing to that place. And that's why I feel like where I'm at today is such a healthy space for me to grow, because it's what I prayed for. It's what I pleaded for. I have a prayer closet in my apartment. I have a walk-in closet, and I turn it into a prayer closet. So, like, the first part is a mat, and then everything else is closed. So when I get on my knees in my prayer closet, I'm praying hard, because, like, sometimes crying, it's not running everything, like, get it out, because I just need to get to a place where I feel like I can help people, even if it's through my personal fights, spiritual battles, mental issues, addictions, all sorts of things. And so when I shared it, I just wanted to help somebody. I wanted to uplift someone. They probably needed to hear that. They probably were going through something. And based on the response, like, I think you even was like, go on, preacher. And I'm like, preacher? Me? I'm so scared of attention.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, listen, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and I feel like we all go through that, you know what I'm saying? Deal with conflict. Some people run from it, some people run towards it and stuff like that. That was one of the biggest issues I had, you know what I'm saying? Trying to convince myself, like, yo, you matter too, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You ain't unworthy, you ain't unimportant, you here too, you know what I'm saying? And one of the major things I had to convince myself, you know, of, and it wasn't easy, you know what I'm saying? Stepping out the shadows and you know, actually contributing to the world, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're doing that with this podcast. That's why I love it. When you sent me the link, I was like, I'm so proud of you. Like, I just love seeing people do their damn thing, especially us. Because often enough, we live in a very systematic setup where it's like, no, you go to school, you get a job, you retire, you get your pension. But no, what about those who are creators who want to share a story? And here you are, you have your own podcast and you're diving into the story of others. Like, shout out to you.
Hey, turning the mess into a message.
That's yes. Yes. I love it. I love it.
All right. So being that it's the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
If you could remember, like, what is, like, the greatest gift you ever gotten?
The greatest gift. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Well, the greatest gift I ever got, period, was life.
Yeah.
Right. That
was under the tree in the box.
It was an invisible box. Under an invisible tree, under the tree of life. No. But no, I mean, that's the greatest gift. But the actual, like, tangible physical gift, I would say, I don't know. Oh, I do know. When I was in college, my grandmother, may she rest in peace, I was all about my hair. Like, my hair was everything. My hair was always done.
He still is.
I'm big on my hair. I'll switch it up until I find the right style. Like, I love my hair. And my grandmother, my college roommate, she introduced me to the sheet iron. It was a brand in Sally's where it's, like, really good straightener. And she's an Italian girl, so she was always, like, straightening her hair. Then she would do that puff thing and fluff it up. She was stylish. I gotta give it up to her. And I was like, what's that? Because my iron wasn't cutting it. My corner store beauty supply store iron was not cutting it. And I'm like, what's that? I need that. Like, I need my bundles to look like your natural hair. And so I told my grandmother, and it was expensive, And she got it for me, and I still have it to this day. Like, so I would say that was one of like the greatest tangible gifts I got in the holiday season. My hair stuff.
Okay. Okay, I ain't mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
I share mine. I remember when I was a kid. I mean, cause now, you know, now for the last 20 years, I got the same gifts. I got like a pair of socks.
Oh, and no.
and the Axe bundle. You know, the Axe bundle, the spray with the body wash, with the deodorant.
Oh, my God. Every year?
For the last 20 years. You know? So Christmas stopped for me when I was like 14. But one of the gifts I got was one of the greatest gifts I got was when I was a kid. It was a wrestling belt.
Really? Yeah, you was a wrestling?
Yeah, I was a crazy wrestling fan, man.
Me too. Who was your favorite wrestler?
Back in the day?
Yeah.
I would say Bret Hart.
Okay.
You know who that is?
Nope.
How you gonna ask me?
I had to Google him. I heard the name. I was more of like an Eddie Guerrero and John.
Oh, okay, Jordan. Okay. That was like an era after Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Bret Hart was the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
I actually stopped watching wrestling because my mom used to work for WWE. So when I was going to high school in Greenwich, she kept driving north to Stanford, and she worked at the wrestling company for many years. And so we would always get tickets to shows, and I was so bougie. I'm like, if Eddie Guerrero's not there, I'm not going. Okay. If he's not there, you know, doing his little shimmy, I'm not going. Like, right. But you know, I still went. I was just talking my mess, but I loved wrestling. I was a very aggressive child.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what happened to me.
Why?
Maybe because I got picked on a lot in middle school. So I was more like, okay, you want to play with me?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna fight. Like, thank God for Jesus. Like, you know what I mean? I'm reformed, but I don't know. I got really aggressive and I just wasn't with it. You mess with me, I'm gonna say what I say, or I'm gonna put my hands on you. But now that I'm older and I understand that that's not the way to live, because you have so much more to lose. And plus, who wants to go around smacking people? Like, especially when they be shooting. I got time for that. Mm-mm.
Yeah, man, it's too much life, man. It's too much life. And then I think that the more we grow up, the more we realize how crazy this world is and how crazy the people are. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So winding down and stuff like that, I want to get into switching gears. I want to get into the dating aspect of life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I was thinking about? Like how this generation, you know, my parents married at 18, and then I'm sure their parents were married, and then their parents are married. And I feel like this generation is like, is more people that are single or in relationships, but not really. Marriage is not a big thing as it used to be, I guess.
I think also, it's so funny you said that, because my best friend and I talk about that all the time. When she like was leaving her ex, I was like, girl, this dating pool is hot garbage. It is terrible. It's a mess. You walking into a hot load of mess. And I think the reason why marriage isn't looked at the way it used to is because people just decided that it was just a piece of paper when really it's not, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you want assets in life, let's talk about real property, like real estate. When you're married, it's a very important factor to be noted when it comes to buying a house, because there's something called joint tenancy, right? Or tenant versus tenants in common. And that dictates who can inherit the property. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that has a generational effect that people don't understand. So I feel like those who understand assets and who are possibly more conservative, they're more open to the idea of marriage, whereas a lot of people out here, they want to be city boys and city girls and, you know, hotties and all types of things, just not committing. There's this stigma about commitment that is required with a check. And it's like, to me, that's prostitution. right? Like, if you have to buy something to get into a position where that can happen, that's prostitution. I feel like it should just be based on who the person is, right? If you guys are lying. And that's why a lot of people are so damn crazy out here, because they got all these spiritual ties. Let's talk about it. Those demons that are circulating around because people done open up their legs to the wrong people. And now you got soul ties and you wondering why you're crazy. No, you're going through what you're going through because you absorbed what they were already battling, and you don't have the ability or capabilities to fight it off because you didn't know what you signed up for.
That is deep.
We gonna get into it. We gonna get into it because I got a lot to say.
That is deep.
Yeah. It's true.
I was thinking like the technology, maybe the unrealistic expectation of like social media mixed in with some pornography and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
It all ties.
You know, unrealistic expectations. You know that you try to reach out for. And another thing is, Mike Tyson said this. He says sometimes a lot of men look for their mother and their woman.
That's true. And a lot of women look for their fathers and men. Exactly. Even the ones that they never met. So you're looking for who you would idolize to be your father, to be the father for your child with this individual.
And that's crazy, not to get all personal and stuff like that. I got four sisters, you know, and none of them married. And you know, our father, he was in the streets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I look at all of their boyfriends. They're like way much older than they are and stuff like that. And like you said, it's right. You know, they're looking for like a father figure and a spouse. You know what I mean? And a companion. So that's crazy.
Or just a protector. I have a relative like that. Not to put her business out there, but I have a relative like that who likes older men. Like, she's in her 20s and he's in his 60s. And so to me, it was more of like, it's the financial stability that you never got from your dad that he can give you. It's the fact that he can give you housing, he can give you all these things. And I don't judge it because I'm not perfect. I'm not about to sit here and judge you. I just always counseled her to try to do things, you know, another way. But if that's her choice, that's her choice, because she's grown. But it's a mental thing, right? I think slowly but surely we're conditioning ourselves into things that we don't even know how to deal with, right? Like, it can get met. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you quickly. You ever heard of the story of Lilith?
No.
Lilith is a Jewish folklore, right? But the alleged story is that she was around before Eve. So it was really Adam and Lilith. But the problem was Lilith didn't want to be beneath Adam. And so because she was so big on like, oh no, I'm an alpha woman and I don't go beneath a man when we both came from dust type of person or spirit, whatever, she was, I think they said that she was just removed from like the Garden of Eden. And so
she got the boot.
Yeah, she got the boot. And it's so funny because when you hear what a city girl means, you know, it's, to me, I'm like, that's the spirit of Lilith, right? A lot of these people got the spirit of Jezebel. You know, it's a lot of things that are spiritual and religious that has a great influence on how people are living their life in this world. And we don't even realize it, right? This is why you got to keep your eyes open. Do you want the red pill or do you want the blue pill? You know, do you want to be woke or you want to be asleep? You can sleep. But baby, a lot of stuff gonna happen while you asleep. You might want to open your eyes.
Right.
A lot of things here. It's a lot.
Right. You got anybody special in your life right now?
While we on the subject? I do. But I'm not gonna talk too much about him because I'm just so like, I'm very private. If you see on my social media, I don't post anything about my personal life. Like, I don't think people even know what my parents look like. But it's but it's like, I do. And I really appreciate him because we're both in a space where we're trying to get on the right path with our faith, and just having that support, it helps a lot. And we started off as friends. So yeah. He was my best friend for many years, and then it evolved into a relationship. So, well, yeah, you can call it a relationship, a situationship. Let's call it that. Let's call it that.
That's special because I just recently realized, like, you know, how, you know, dope not just my life is, but life is in general. And, you know, you want somebody to to share the experience of life with you. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to. I mean, who wants to be alone, right? That's sad.
I did for a long time. You know what I'm saying? I have
you to... was a player.
No, I wasn't a player. You know what? I'm gonna give it a buck with you. I was just selfish. Selfish. Okay. You know, I didn't want to compromise. You know, I like hanging out with my boys. You know, that was the one thing I never gave at when I was in these relationships was my time. You know what I'm saying? And that's always required. You know, I met special women that, you know, they just wanted time. They didn't want no money. They didn't want no, they just wanted to just be around me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can see you getting married in the next 5 years, within the Ooh, next 5 years.
Yes.
Kind of family. I can see it. You're such Speak a good it. Person. I swear, like, let me tell you something, and this is to the audience. Anthony is such an amazing person. Okay. If you don't know him, you might want to get to know him if you're lucky, because the energy that this man carries and walks with is so much of a blessing. Like, you are literally a walking blessing. Your story touched me to the point where I was like, who am I to complain about life? And I've never seen Anthony upset. Like, you dealing with a whole lot of things. When them bomb threats used to come in, y'all got to deal with that. I can run out the building, right? But it's like, you always are positive. You always kept the energy right. You always smiling, always fantastic. Like, I just love it. Like, and always improving. It's just like, you're like a breath of fresh air. You really are. And I know for a fact there's a woman that's going to appreciate that to the point where she's like, I can't let this man go.
Oh, thank you.
And so I declare and decree on your behalf that the love of your life will come into your life and be part of your life from here on out. And that you guys will be able to create a generation to follow.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Speak it into existence. You know what I mean? All right, we kind of got to put a bow on this thing, but before we do, is there anything that you want to tell, like, either the younger version of yourself or the younger audience out there before we go?
Trust the process.
Trust
the process. Whatever it looks like, trust it. Keep going. Don't give up. Stay positive and keep your faith in God or whatever you believe in.
Mm-hmm. Perfect way.
It's just different.
Yo, Zen Diggity. Let's go. Only improving, this man is fantastic. Only celebrate with people you was in the lab with. Chemistry, energy, if it's meant to be, then it's meant for me. Social studies, creating history, I'm talking homework. Only paper was loosely wooden wingman. Couldn't afford a two-piece. My life is like a movie. Zombie though, dead special. God bless you. Had to participate in my own rescue. Uncle said, go ahead, nephew. Keep pushing forward. Remain center. But I'm looking forward. Start praying for a sign. Just point guard on the road to victory. Said nothing about a scorecard. Filled with your scar with bruises. Nothing leaked through though. Started learning self-love. Started letting people go. Basic education, but still feel the need to know. Standing in the mirror, asking where the leaders go. The teachers go, he reading slow. Maybe he's remedial. Watch me even the odds. Got up on that TV show. It's unbelievable. Sorta like what Big said, but I'm dope like Tobey, no wig wave.